Good evening. Sure glad to see everybody here. I'll be listening somewhere. You know, waiting for him to call your name. I had talked to Brother Ken before we all got started tonight. I had a song in mind. And the song that he sang is better than the one I had in mind. And so sometimes those things work out, and sometimes we can just be thankful. I'd like to talk to you tonight a little bit about a God. Without a doubt, is our great God. Our great God, there's nothing at all in His creation that He cannot do. There's nothing in creation to compare to God. And yet I find it really interesting that there are so many people today who seek greatness in other people. They seek greatness in just about anybody. And it just boggles my mind. They're seeking greatness in athletes, for example. And they'll spend countless hours studying stats and learning about this particular athlete. They know how much they weigh. They know how tall they are. They know how many different teams they've been on. They can tell you what cities and towns they've lived in. And it's just amazing. And they seek their autographs. They draw near to them when they're in town. And some people, you know, they're interested in movie stars. And again, they know everything. How many people this particular person's been married, how many times they've been divorced, what movies they played in, and just everything about that person. Sometimes it's about an artist of some form. Maybe it's a painter or a great author of a book that people just desire to be close to and to mimic. And sometimes, and this is not necessarily a bad thing. Some people, you know, children especially, want to mimic their parents. A son wants to be like his father, a daughter like the mother, and that can be a very, very good thing. But in all this, what strikes me odd is that so many they spend so much energy drawing near to everything in this world. Sometimes with great passion. And they overlook the one, God, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, overlooking what should be our first, most important goal in life is to draw near to God. You know, so few are willing to focus their attentions on learning God. In this world that we live in. And so for a few nights, Lord willing, I would like to focus on a series called Drawing Near to God. Pretty simple. Draw near to God. Remembering the theme of our new year that God made us together in Christ. He's going to do that. He's going to keep us together in Christ. And so thinking of that word together, I'd like to focus on that and today and in subsequent lessons. Yeah, you know, for example, why draw near to God? Why do that? I think James gives us a really good answer. Something that is just straightforward. In the book of James chapter 4 and verse 8, James simply says, draw near unto God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near unto God. So why draw near unto God? Why do we do that? God makes a promise through James. Realize all Scripture is written by the breath of God. God from heaven has made a promise through James, according to the Holy Spirit, that if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. You know, that I consider that reciprocation. I think it's a wonderful example in the Scriptures of reciprocation. Merriam-Webster defines reciprocation as a mutual exchange, a return in kind of like value. That's how Webster does that. God says, if we will draw near to Him, He will reciprocate. He'll draw near to us. Isn't that amazing? And when you think of how amazing is that really? As we look at this and we try to figure that out, how amazing is this? You know, when we consider that God is omnipotent, this God who says, draw near unto me and I'll draw near, and I'll reciprocate, He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. There's nothing He can't do. If He needs anything, He has it. He doesn't need me. God, omnipotent, all powerful. Save, destroy, create, uncreate. And not only is He omnipotent, but this God is omniscient. He knows everything. And I want you to, you know, God who knows everything. Okay, I heard an illustration from somebody once that kind of boggled my mind. He described this kind of thing, knowing everything, as God, as a man sitting. He says, you go up on a mountaintop and you're sitting on this high, high mountain and you're looking down in the valley and you see a railroad track and you see a train coming along and then you see a bridge up ahead and you see the bridge is broken out. And there's nothing you can do that. You know, you can see. You see, you're like God. You can see that train is going to hit that bridge, has no way to stop. And I thought, wait. No, because you can't do anything about it. That's not like God. And not only that, God knew about that train before the train was ever built. God knew you were going to be sitting on that mountain before you were ever born. God's omniscient. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows that you were going to be on that mountain way back before the mountain was there. That's the God that is going to reciprocate. If we draw near unto Him, He'll draw near unto us. The omnipresent God who's always going to be with us. This God is willing to draw near unto me? I'm confused. I'm a little bit confused. Because it was Bildad the Shuhite that described man this way. He said, how much less man who is a maggot and the son of man who's a worm? Job chapter 25 verse 6. That's me. And God wants to draw near to me. And it boggles my mind. Isaiah said, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteousness deeds are like filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf in our iniquities. And like the wind takes us away. Isaiah 64 and 6. That's amazing. And what is amazing in that God, who is so far above us all, wants to be with us. He wants us to be with Him. God, who is perfect and holy, wants me, the maggot, like filthy rags, to come near to Him. God, who is righteous in everything and in every way, He wants the sinner like me. This is the same God who is willing spiritually in this present age to draw near unto me. And it just boggles. And we ponder. I'd like to point out also here about this word and. You know, James says draw near to God and He will draw near to you. What that and does is it creates a contention, or a, that shouldn't be contention, it creates a condition is what that word should be. God is creating a condition that must be met in this text. He's telling us that it's kind of like Mark 16:16, where Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized. So we teach and we know what that means. It's pretty simple, straightforward grammar. If you believe and are baptized, you'll be saved. Jesus said that. And here James is saying that through the Holy Spirit, that if you draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God. And. A condition. So it requires something of us. It requires us to draw near to God. And we want to do that. Consider this also, that God is desiring a relationship with us, and we know how serious He is about it. He chose to sacrifice His only begotten Son for us. That's pretty serious. Romans chapter 5 and at verse 8, God demonstrated His own love toward us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's pretty serious. He's not messing around with this, draw near unto me and I'll draw near unto you. He's making it very clear that He's going to do that. And so the question isn't, will God come to us? That's not the question. Will God come to us? No, because He already did. If you remember from the lesson this morning, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14 in John 1, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He did come to us. He did walk upon this earth. He did walk amongst the sinners. He did take on all the vile and horrible accusations, being called a blasphemer and people trying to kill. He did come to us. The real question is not, will God come to us? The real question is, will we come to Him? A question that both the saved and the unsaved need to answer. Do we, the saved in Christ, consider it most important to draw near unto God? And those who are not saved, consider it most important to draw unto God? You know, in the next few lessons, Lord willing, we'll seek to better understand this idea of drawing and understanding, coming close to God, so that we can fulfill our part. We all have a part in this. The question, what are some of the blessings that we receive when we do draw near unto God? And that there's many blessings. We would never get through those all tonight, but just think about this. Being with God will bring out the best in us. Being with God is one good reason. It's a great blessing. The idea of Christian fellowship, of working together in the church to draw each other closer to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit and truth, to be with other Christians whose faith is strong and their love sometimes is great, their wisdom, and they just want to bring out the best in us, and they do that because they're with God. Together, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 41, he tells us, lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. Reach up. He's there. He wants us to be close. And when we're together with brethren of like faith, our hearts respond to their character, their goodness, their behaviors that are more like God. And that's how we draw near to God in one fashion, that He will bring us to a place that brings the best out of us. It's a blessing because His traits, His holiness, those are the things that we find in godly people. Tangible things that the saints have who emulate God's goodness. It'll affect us. We will become more like Him. And by this blessing, the Lord will bring out the best in us. You know, a great blessing is that when we are called to worship like the psalmist, we can shout, "Oh, come! Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully on the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is great God and the King, great King above all gods." Psalm 95, 1 through 3. We can do that. We can feel good about that. Drawing near to God aids us in taking on His attributes, becoming like God as we learn more and more and more. And I can't think of a reason not to draw near to God. I've never heard a good reason why not to draw near to God. Why not draw close to Christ? Why not obey the gospel? Why not live a Christian life? Why not live under the umbrella of the Spirit of God? Why not? I mean, is it a good reason just to simply say, I don't want to? Are we actually reasoning? Why not draw near to God? And I think the only acceptable reason is that somebody doesn't really know God. Because if people do know God, they're going to draw nigh unto Him. If you really knew God, you know, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And John kind of describes this for us. He's putting it close to us. We can understand that. The Apostle Paul, he was near to God when he proclaimed these words, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You can't get closer than that. He lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He already came. He wants you. What a blessing it is to be able to say, Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. Boy, I'll tell you, you can't get closer than that. What a blessing. Indeed, a wonderful blessing. And sometimes we don't want to be near someone just because of the way that they act, or the way that they treat us, or the way we perceive them, or maybe they act in some sinful manner and it repulses us, or maybe they're just simply mean to us, and that's no reason not to be loving. Because when I'm repulsive, when I'm mean, when I'm sinning, when I'm failing and falling short, God still wants to be near me. He just wants me to take Him and learn about Him and be molded and transformed by Him, by His Word. He'll take on all the problems, right? Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. What a blessing it is to say, Christ liveth in me. But, you know, it's never true about God. God is never going to be repulsive. He's never going to treat you poorly. He's never going to act in a sinful manner. It's never true about God. And for God's nature, because of His nature, we really do want to draw near unto Him. And that's true because when you draw near to God, He will surround you with His love and with His mercy. When we look at Psalm 136 and 1, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. This is God, His character. God's not repulsive. He's not sinning against you. He's not being a mean or sinful person to you. He's the Lord God. He's good. And that's something we want to draw near to naturally. Why would we not want to do that? You know, I'm sincere. And I ask the question, it boggles my mind, as I've said. He's wonderful to be around. You know, I can't say that I'm a person that's always wonderful to be around. And I've met people that were, in my estimation, wonderful to be around always. But God is wonderful. He is the Lord. He is good. He's full of mercy. His mercy endures forever. He's just wonderful to be around, day and night. Psalm 27 and 4, David said, One thing I have desired of the Lord that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. He's somebody you want to be around. This is who God is. The one who said, Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you, adding these things in your mind should add up to, that's a guy, that's somebody that I want to be around. That's somebody that I would want to be around. Abiding in God's law is a great honor and privilege. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2, therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you. Nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Can you say that about anybody you know on this earth? Can you say there's nobody like you? Can you say that about anybody that you know? Can you say that there's anybody that you've heard in your ears that is just loving and merciful like God? Completely, without shadow of turning, no confusion. And why would we not want to be drawing near to God? For some, I would think if the President of the United States would invite you for a talk, and I know there's people who don't like the President and there's people who do, but I'll tell you what, he drives up to your door and he says, I'd like to talk with you. Can you imagine that? You know, there's honor just in that, to be in the presence of the President. The President, he wants to talk to me? Really? You know, I'm nothing compared to the President. He has all that stature and power and position. He holds the highest office in the land, and there's nothing that I can add to that. But think of God. Think of His majesty and the sovereign ruler of the world, the creator of all things. What a great honor that is to say, you know, God wants me to be near Him. And you know, when God says that, He doesn't... I didn't say that God, it is an honor. Not that it would be an honor. Not that it could be an honor. It is truly just an honor for the Creator to want to draw near unto me. We should reflect from time to time on God's nature. Seriously, and not our own, because it's His nature, not our nature. It's His goodness, not our goodness. It's His mercy, not our mercy. It's His grace, not ours. That's what draws us near to God. There are none like Him. There's none like Him. You know, another example, if you think about it, on the news recently, I have seen over and over and over again these streets in these big cities like San Francisco where there is just terrible waste all over the sidewalks and there's people on top of people using drugs. It's a terrible thing. And imagine in that scenario, the poorest, the smelliest, the dirtiest individual on that street, and the President of the United States pulls up in his limousine and he opens the door and he says, come in. Just like you are, just come in. You're going to dine with me tonight in the White House. Wouldn't that be amazing? And yet it doesn't even come close to reaching the enormous, the massive, the gigantic invitation of God to come to me. That constant, never changing, that open door that says, come to me. You're going to come in and dine with me, not like the White House, but like God's house. Wouldn't that be amazing? And God has always got that open door. He's always making that offer. Draw near unto me and I will draw near unto you. It's a great honor and a privilege. And our Lord, He makes it crystal clear. There's no misunderstanding. Jesus said, come unto me all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me. Invitation's open. Come to me. And it wasn't, you know, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. You see, God wants us to be with him. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to faith and repentance in Christ Jesus. He wants us all. And when you think of him, and you know, if you come to me tonight after the meeting here and you start telling me all the bad things about God, maybe I'll change my mind. But you'd be hard pressed. You can say bad things about me. I'm just the maggot in the filthy rag. But you'd have to make it up. You know, you'd have to make it up. It would just be a lie to say something bad about our God. Why would you not want to be and to draw near to him? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he did make that clear. Listen to what the Spirit said to the bride. Come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Come. Our great God wants you to come, to draw near to him. And just imagine that. Jesus is standing at the door knocking. Jesus in the flesh said, come unto me. And Jesus now, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Can't be more clearer than that. And I want you to think too tonight. And you don't have to be a Christian to get this. You don't have to be a member of the Church of Christ or be a part of the body of Christ. You don't even have to believe in Jesus. You just look around the world. You tell me, is this world better than what God offers? Because there's your black and white. We have wars and we have hatred and we have variances and dissimulation and we have people fighting back and forth and people that hate this group and that group and we have all kinds of things going on in this world and we have children that are being sacrificed by parents who don't really care much about them in this world. We have people who, because they don't care for God, they go out and they rape and they steal and they take people and kill. This world is full of people who act like people without God. Just look around. These are things that are just undeniable. And then you tell me that all the things that God teaches us over the years, the things you've heard about godliness, and that's something you don't want to be a part of. What would the world be like without any influence of the Almighty God? I think it would be a pretty tragic place. You know, Jeremiah knew what the world would be like. Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, and is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Solomon wrote, "A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?" He's always there. He's always present. He's all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, and he's directing things. His providence, even though we don't always see it, it goes before us. And remember from a couple of weeks ago, the providence, that falls on the just and the unjust. If you don't believe in God, you still benefit from God because he loves you. He's standing at the door right now and knocking and saying, open the door. This is who we care about. He's our Creator. Solomon and Jeremiah knew this world would not be very good without God. Can you imagine the chaos that would exist without God's direction? It is such a blessing to us that He reveals Himself through the Word and through other people to allow us to know Him. And the more we know Him, the more we can draw closer and closer to Him. He wants us to learn about Him. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me. Learn of me. You'll find rest for your souls. And you consider the words of the song. The song, Nearer, I think it's Nearer, O Nearer. Song number 300 and 325. Look at that with me. And just hear these words. These words, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in the haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, nothing I bring, not as an offering to Jesus, my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin, with its follies, I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified. Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to me. You know, in Isaiah chapter 55, I'd like you to turn there and we'll read a couple verses and then we'll close. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in the first verse. Isaiah writes these words. He says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Do you know there's a price for salvation? There's a price. But listen to what Isaiah says. He says, "Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Well, wait. You have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight in itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David indeed. I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, I said there's a price, but he's saying it's free. And it is, because Jesus is the one that paid the price. Jesus hung on a cross. His blood was shed. The Son of God, who was all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-ever-present. He was the one that hung on that cross, had the power to stop, but He did it for you because He wants you to draw near unto Him. He paid the price with His blood, and everything else for you would be free. Grace is free. You don't have to pay for it. All you have to do is receive it. Can you do that tonight? If you're not in Christ, draw near unto Him. He will draw near unto you. Come, arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, washing away your sins. And if you are in Christ and you have sin, come, be restored. The Lord is saying, come. Why don't we do that tonight as we stand and as we sing?